Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cross Pollination with Matt Harrington, a 30-minute podcast focusing on young leadership and the skills needed for tomorrow's workforce. Cross Pollination works to connect ideas, concepts, and strategies from various thought leaders and share those insights with the world. Now, here's your host, Matt Harrington.
Good Sunday evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cross Pollination. This is our 12th episode, and this time we are talking about millennials and productivity, and specifically getting organized, getting productive, and how do we work both from everybody needs that. Everybody needs to get organized and productive, but how do we look at it through the lens of millennials? If you're joining me for the first time, Cross Pollination is a platform that we use here. It's based off of our book, Survival of the Hive, but we've kind of transformed it into our millennial platform to connect, pollinate, and inspire young leadership and engagement. So hopefully through our half-an-hour podcast that we do monthly, we're able to spread some good ideas, connect with thought leaders in different industries, and then inspire some additional action or behavior or some sort of engagement. Today, I have a very special guest. I met Porter Knight a couple months ago and thought she had just a unique and special way of looking at getting organized and being productive, and kind of instantly thought there would be a great cross-pollination between my ideas with millennials and her ideas with productivity. And so I'm joined by Porter Knight of the Productivity Vermont, which is a company dedicated to empowering busy professionals to achieve more at work. And she'll join me on the show shortly. Productivity Vermont believes that productivity doesn't just happen. It begins with a conscious commitment. And I thought that that rang so true, that it's more than just tools. It's actually a mindset. And being productive requires skill and decision-making to thrive and needs ongoing support. And I think we can all agree to that as we work in a very, very busy and complex world. And so Productivity Vermont sets out to create a system that fosters these characteristics in the workplace. Their powerful strategies have helped thousands of executives, employees, and entrepreneurs acquire a great sense of purpose, hone their decision-making skills, and achieve greater life balance, which, again, I think we're all looking for. And this helps boost their performance at work. So without further ado, I want to welcome Porter Knight to the show. Good evening, Porter.
Hi, Matt.
How are things going?
Great. Pleasure to be here. Glad to have the opportunity to talk with you.
Yes, yeah, and I'm glad that we, like I said, we met a couple months ago, and so I'm glad this worked out and we could get you on the show. Talk to me a little bit about your background. How does someone kind of get involved in owning a whole business just around productivity and organization?
I started the business in 1996, and back in 1996, the idea of teaching people how to get organized was a bit of a novelty. But I had wanted to have my own business, and I'd been trying on a lot of different ideas for size. And my husband at the time said, I think people would pay for that systems thinking you do. And so it really grew out of his suggestion, and he still describes himself as, my first and best client. And, the idea that people get so busy that they can't always see how to streamline their system and make it better because they're overwhelmed. And so, I set out to create a system to help people get the tools that they need to accomplish their goals, and to see that they actually have those tools at their disposal already. They just need to know how to access them.
Great. And then from that, you started your business. And so you've been going along, what, at this point, over 20 years now?
Just about, yeah. So when I started in 1996, I used to describe my work as digging people out from under piles. Because in 1996, when people were struggling to be organized, That was really the issue. People were buried in paper, and they were trying to get a lot of work done, but their workspaces were closing in on them, and they needed to create a decision-making process so that they could keep moving forward, getting the right things done without having piles in their way or piles in their wake. And things have changed a lot since 1996. Now, of course, well, people still have paper piles, but now more the frustration that I hear people expressing has to do with the virtual piles. And, you know, email is the biggest overwhelmer for most people in the workplace, and it's the way we work. It's the biggest source of work demands in most work environments, and it's a challenge for people to stay on top of that.
Yeah, I've heard a couple times that people claim email bankruptcy. They just send a mass email out to people saying, "I'm claiming email bankruptcy. I'm starting from scratch. Sorry if I missed your message. Please email me again."
It's not a real professional approach. I mean, nobody wants to really admit that they had to just, you know, to blank slate and start over. So I think people are really craving a methodology to feel like they're in charge, not that the email's in charge.
Great. So give us an example or two of kind of where you've come in and really kind of turned that system around or even introduced a system to a person that might not have a system at all.
Yeah, so a couple examples of millennials I worked with in the last month, just to show, you know, the range of people who are looking for this type of support. Really, anybody who wants to be more organized can be. And if you want to be more productive, it's just a matter of paying attention and scheduling the time to create the systems that are going to support you. So recently I worked with a millennial who's a social worker for a state agency, and his goal was to streamline his paperwork. So he was still dealing with a lot of paper. But, you know, what he was looking for is a way to better serve his clients by being timely in the follow-up to provide the services that they needed and manage an incredibly large caseload. So he was looking to create a process for the flow of paper, avoiding clutter and piles. And that's still very common, even though email's an enormous challenge for people. Another millennial that I worked with recently is an executive director of a nonprofit organization, and she was really looking for a way to distinguish between the urgent and the important in the course of her workday. She wanted to keep her focus on what's important, and, you know, was really struggling because the volume of work in the nonprofit environment, again, was putting her in a scenario where she was just putting out fires all the time. So she was looking for some processes to manage the way she schedules her time and protect that focus time, and that was something that she wanted to do. So, you know, people in different scenarios, but looking for ways to be productive. I also worked just last week with a millennial who's working for a law firm. He's not yet a partner, but he wants to be. And so, you know, his focus is on how can he be effective in the work that he does, crank out the billable hours that he needs to crank out in order to get where he wants to be. And, again, it's paper systems for him, but a larger portion of it for him was email and being responsive in a timely manner, but not spending all his time in the email because he has to do a lot of thought work. And so scheduling time for the thought work, balancing that with the incoming demands. So there's a lot of variety in what people are looking for. They express it the same way. I want to get more done. I want to have things be efficient, productive, but I want to have a life too. So people want to feel like they can go home at the end of the day and, you know, pursue their hobbies, their interests, be with people they love, and, you know, have a whole life. And I think millennials have a very healthy mindset on that. They want to be participants in the world and in life and not just be a workaday grind. But they, like everybody else, need to find a way to be in charge of their workload and not have it be dogging them all day and all night and all weekend too.
Yeah, I was going to pick up on that. I think you've got an interesting client base emerging into the workforce as we see that millennials in this year make up 50% of employees now. And yet you've got this kind of dichotomy there. You've got a generation that wants to be extremely efficient, right? So they adopt new technologies, not because they adopt technologies, but because the technology allows them to be more efficient. And so they're very focused on efficiency and kind of minimalist, what can I do quickest to get it done? And yet at the same time, we've heard a lot that there's quite an inability to focus or an inability to kind of create boundaries around work-life play or just even, you know, when is it time to kind of buckle down and get organized and get productive? And so, but I think you've got a silver lining there in the fact that, you know, millennials want to be efficient. And so here you come, here Productivity Vermont comes, and you're providing that system and that tool. Have you found, you know, you've been in business since 96. Have you found that, you know, the technology push, especially in the last 10 years, has totally changed the industry, not changed the industry? It's more of a mindset issue, or were there kind of some real obstacles, or does there continue to be real obstacles when it comes to now we've introduced a new player in the game, and that's, you know, whatever, technology, social media, email,
right,
that sort of thing?
In the workplace, email is actually the biggest change to the game that I've seen. I mean, we do have a lot of other technologies and ways that people interact with technologies, but what I see is that, you know, email is the way we work. And I think that the mindset is actually the same. So the reason why people had piles of paper in 1996 is the same reason why people have 8,592 emails in their inbox with, you know, 212 unread. And it has to do with decision making. And the thing is that people hire a professional organizer, they call my company looking for productivity strategies because they're aware of the symptoms and they're saying, I'm dropping the ball, I'm not following up in a timely manner, or, you know, I'm doing my email at 10 o'clock at night when my girlfriend is on the couch wanting to watch a movie. You know, so they're experiencing these pressures of the overwhelm of the volume of work, but the core is the same. And so even though people hire me to help them get organized and to get more done and to be productive, what I really teach is decision making. People don't call me and say, hey, I need to learn how to be a better decision maker. But that's the core of it. And so what I do when I talk to people about getting organized is I give them a decision-making framework. And that framework is the same whether you're applying your attention to physical paper and the actions that that requires of you, or whether you're applying your attention to email and the actions that requires of you. And so the framework was really about clarifying what do I have to do with this demand on my time, whether it's an email or a verbal request or a piece of paper. What do I have to do to move forward to reach my goals? And that requires a couple of things. One is you have to have some clarity about what it is you're trying to achieve, clarity of goal. The other is that you have to allow yourself the time to think and pay attention to the demand being made on your time so that you can make a decision. And what happens in the current work world for so many people is that the pace and the volume, the onslaught of demands is so rapid fire that people do what I call hamster wheel organizing, is they just get on the wheel and run as fast as they can until they fly off the wheel at work and hop on the one at home and run on that one. And the result of that is a very dissatisfied experience. You may be moving fast and you may feel very busy, but you're not getting the satisfaction of feeling like you got the right things done well, and that hamster wheel mentality ends up really burning people out. And I think millennials are sensitive to this because they want balance, and they're more articulate about asking for it in the workplace, but they're not necessarily more savvy about how they train their own attention and decision making. And so I think that millennials are as eager as any other generation to learn, well, what are the skills that I need to build in order to pay attention and take action in a way that is deliberate and thoughtful and mindful and is going to get me where I want to go?
Yep. I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't say it any better. I think that was kind of a great segment there of really nailing down kind of some of the issues. If you're just joining me on Cross-Pollination tonight, we've got organization expert, productivity expert, Porter Knight from Productivity Vermont here, and she's talking to us a little bit about organizing and productivity, but really in the frame of decision-making and kind of setting priorities as well. Is that correct? I kind of, that's what came to mind when you're talking decision-making. It's not only that, it's the ability to make a decision or decisions around how am I prioritizing. I think the other thing that you said, and I wrote it down here, was busy work versus the work or smart work that's going to lead to kind of the return on your investment of time, right? So, and I'm guilty of this like anybody else, where you get really busy, you got a lot of stuff crossed off your to-do list, but was it, you know, did you get a great return on your investment of time? And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm guilty of that, of walking away sometimes going, I don't think I got the ROI I wanted to out of that day or out of that week. I need to work harder next week to do
so
that.
That's the kind of thing I hear a lot, is that people get frustrated because they did work really hard. They worked long and hard. But then when they take the opportunity for self-reflection, they sometimes feel as if they didn't put their time where they were, as you said, getting the return on the investment, or also sometimes not doing the things that they really wanted to do. So they got a lot done. But the truth is that you're never going to get it all done. So you do ultimately have to make choices about what you are going to do and what you aren't going to do. And, you know, back when I started my business in 1996, I said, just trust me. If you get more organized, you're going to get more done. You're going to get it done better, and you're going to feel better. But I don't know why it works. Just trust me. But now we have a new way to look at the way the brain works when it makes decisions and chooses actions. And so now I can talk to people about the neuroscience behind decision-making, and I can explain why, when you get organized, you actually think better, you perform better, and you feel better. And so the bottom line is that when you allow yourself the time to think and make a decision and take action in that direction, it actually changes, from a physiological standpoint, it changes the way blood moves in your brain, which enhances performance, and it actually changes the chemicals your brain produces, which enhances a sense of self-satisfaction and happiness. Whereas hamster wheel organizing, where, you know, you just sort of race from one task to the other, you let the email beep every time it comes at you, and you know, sort of shiny object syndrome, and you look at that email, and then you answer the phone, and then you talk to the coworker, and then you look at another email. That process actually moves blood away from the thinking part of your brain, and so it deprives you of the capacity to do your best work. So when you are more thoughtful and deliberate and conscious and intentional in your choice making, in the what you're going to do, it actually moves blood in a way that enhances your capacity to perform. And I think this underlying science is really, really helpful for people of all generations to know that, you know, it's not just, you know, it's not about what it looks like. I'm not organizing like a decorator. What we're trying to do is to create an environment where your brain can actually do its best work and create a capacity to focus and perform at the highest level, and also to achieve optimal health, because the chemicals your brain produces when you move it to the thinking part of your brain through conscious choice, or when it moves away from the thinking part of your brain through scrambling, actually changes your chemical composition of your blood and can lead to health complications down the road.
Wow. You know, something you wouldn't really think about, kind of all that you just talked about when you're just talking, getting organized and getting productive, but what the ramifications are, or just even what's the chemical, biological events that are happening in you, and kind of why we get drained on certain days and certain ways that we try to build a system that works for us and it may not work for us, and then why we can get re-energized and reduced when we do it appropriately. Do you find that there, you know, you said you worked with a couple millennials. Do you find a drastic difference between generations when we talk productivity and organizing, or across the board, or are there certain kind of quirks about millennials that you're running into?
I don't see the millennials wanting different things than other generations. I think that their ultimate desires are the same. One of the things I like about working with millennials is that I think that they're very willing to engage in self-reflection on their habits. You know, sometimes people, when they want to get organized, they're like, just give me the tools and the tricks that I need to be better. And I find that millennials are curious and interested, and they want to take the time to have self-improvement. And I think that they are also very eager to not just be connected in the world, but do meaningful work. So it's not, they don't want to just have a job. They want to be connected and have meaningful work. And I think that both of those things, the capacity for self-reflection and the desire to be meaningfully engaged, lend themselves very well to the decision-making framework that I teach, which is about being mindful, paying attention, and making choices that are conscious and intentional. And so I find that millennials really like the process that I teach and that it resonates well for them. One other interesting thing, and I haven't necessarily seen this myself, but it's a piece of research that I found very interesting I came across a couple years ago, is that the temptation to try to multitask in a workplace setting is very strong when there are so many demands being made on your time. And people of all generations succumb to this, you know, where they'll be looking at their smartphone while they're in a meeting, or checking their email while they're on a conference call. And, you know, when you ask people point blank, they'll acknowledge that, yeah, that's maybe not that productive, but they still fall to the temptation to do it. And some very interesting research about, you know, how badly people perform when they attempt to multitask that I found was that, you know, is there a difference? Can millennials multitask better because they've been raised in, you know, since they were in high school or even earlier with all this technology? And the answer is no, they don't multitask any better than anyone else, which always gets chuckles when I do presentations, you know, and I say to people, you know, your teenagers are not multitasking better than you, and those even in the workforce who are younger are not multitasking better than the others. But there is actually this one study showed a physiological difference was that millennials were less stressed. So most people, when they multitask, about a 43% slower job and have more errors. That's common across all generations. But millennials don't produce the neurotransmitters associated with stress while they're doing a poor job. So they're just as lousy at multitasking. They're just not as upset about it. And I thought that was a fascinating
thing. And you and I talked about that. It's kind of the danger about that, the idea that other generations, you know, that's a warning sign. You know, it's kind of like when you get sick and your body sends flares and you start to get cold and sweat and stuff. That's a warning your body's sending you to get to bed and get well. And you and I were talking the idea that, well, if the millennials don't have these warning signs of being worn down or becoming anxious or anything like that, they'll burn out and they'll keep doing it, right?
Yeah. So I think it's just an interesting observation. It hasn't, I think, prevented millennials from deciding they want to be more productive, but I think that they may insist more vehemently, like, oh, I can multitask, I'm used to it. And the answer is that just because you're used to it doesn't mean that you're any good at it. And this leads actually to, you know, one of the biggest detractors of focus, which is lack of sleep. And this is across all generations, but it's the first thing that I discuss with a client is how much sleep are you getting? Because no matter what tips or strategies or suggestions I give for how you keep your list or how you do your filing or how paper flows through your space or how you schedule, everything that has to do with productivity is about using your brain, and if you are sleep-deprived, it's really, really hard to use your brain effectively. And so with millennials, you know, who are at a time in their lives where they're, you know, wanting to be socially engaged and, you know, watch their movies and, you know, chat with their friends, turning it off, putting the technology aside, leaving it downstairs and going to the bedroom in the dark and going to sleep is really, it's a huge awakening, ironically. Like, it's like what big a difference it can make to actually get 8 hours of sleep on a regular basis.
Well, and I would imagine kind of the journey and the transformation that has to happen as, you know, these night owls and college has breeded this are entering the workforce, and now all of a sudden you're having to get up at 6 to get to your job or whatever by 8 or 9. And I remember that as a younger, so I kind of break millennials apart of saying, we've got this older generation of millennials that are kind of used to it. And then I'm familiar with a couple of the younger ones that are entering the workforce for, you know, the first year, second year of it, and they're struggling. And I remember going through that. I remember meeting with my manager saying, I cannot kick this kind of idea that I'm drained at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And part of that was really recalibrating that sleep rhythm.
Right.
So what would you recommend? What hour, how many hours should a person get for sleep?
Well, science says about 8 hours. The adult mammal evolved to need about 8 hours of sleep. And, you know, some people need a little less and some people need a little more. But even though everybody's unique and special, nobody's that special. Like, it's an evolutionary situation. Everybody needs about 8 hours of sleep. And, in fact, if an individual is getting less than about 5 hours sleep on a regular basis, after about 4 days of less than 5 hours sleep, your cognitive capacity is degraded to the point of being functionally drunk, having a blood alcohol level of about 0.1, actually. So it's tremendous. You don't slur and fall down because alcohol affects the cerebellum, which has to do with balance. But in terms of thinking, problem-solving, creativity, it really suppresses your capacity. So about 8 hours of sleep every single night on a regular basis is what the adult mammal needs, you know, the adult human. So
there's
really no way around it.
Really, and I guess a word to millennials. Remember, we're trying to position ourselves for success. You know, at the end of the day, that's why this exists. That's why I write and talk about millennials, is positioning all of us for great success. And so heed the words of Porter Knight, who is a certified professional organizer. So that's kind of interesting. We're about wrapping up. We've got about 3 minutes here. One of the last, I guess, questions is how do we start, Porter? What would be some things that you say, Monday morning starts tomorrow. Here are a couple things I would recommend doing immediately. Here's a couple things I would recommend stopping immediately. What would that list look like? Or is it that simple?
Well, let's start with the stop. The first thing that I would stop is checking your email all the time. So instead of checking your email, what I recommend is that people do their email. And that means that you sit down consciously with the intention of doing it and being done with it, rather than just peeking at it all the time. Mm. What that does is it allows you the ability to do your email now and then transition and do something else, rather than this constant pull, which is essentially a multitasking where you're continually checking. So when people are in an office environment, I tell them to turn off the beep, turn off the little window that pops up telling you you have a new email so that you can be in charge of your email, not the other way around. So that's the big stop that I recommend. As for what people should start doing, absolutely look at your calendar and figure out how you're going to go to bed in order to get 8 hours of sleep. And then when you get into the office in the morning, before you turn on your email and start swimming through all the new demands, say, what is it that I want to get done today? And start to be really intentional about a few key things each day that you want to move forward, and schedule time for those consciously on your calendar so that you're not just using your calendar to hold appointments for other people, but you're using it to hold appointments with yourself to move forward the things that you feel are most important. And with those simple steps, being well-rested, planning your time so that you can move ahead. And I'm not saying block your whole day out, but find time every day to move ahead your projects just a little bit, and taking control of your email so that it's not running the show and you are. Those three things can go a very long way to get people feeling much more on top of their intentions.
Great. Well, Porter, I thanks so much. It always flies by, and you have so much great information. We're going to have you back on the show just to give us some more data points. But where can people get a hold of you? What's your website?
So productivityvermont.com, that's all spelled out, productivityvermont.com is my website. And my phone number is 802-453-3940.
And hopefully the ones listening will take great advantage of that, because you come with a wealth of knowledge. We thank you so much for joining us here on Cross Pollination this week.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
Have a good night.
Take care.